we could fly.
Welcome to this new season of the Have a Cup of Jahani podcast. So I want to title this new season that I'm embarking on with I'm Growing. So this is going to be the season of growth. And that's what I'm going to share with you throughout this season. So I thank you for coming over here and sitting with me. And I hope you enjoy. Imagine the land we call Israel. Imagine that as being that favorite toy. That means a lot. It's just one toy. One toy. And it means a lot to both me and to my sister. And we both claim that the toy is ours. So I say the toy is mine. My sister says, no, the toy is mine. And both of us want to play with this toy at the same time. And of course, us being kids, we have a hard time sharing. And we both feel that we have a strong argument that this is my toy. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of March 2024 for this season 4 of Have a Cup of Jahani podcast. And we ended last time with me wondering what is going to be the theme for this month, for March. And I figured it out, folks. I figured it out. So last month, February, we delve into self-love, self-care, just this rebellious joy of finding love and respect in self. Now for this month, we're going to look outside of ourselves and we're going to look into the world. And we're going to dive deeper into some things that you may have seen on the headlines or you may have not seen on the headlines, but that are still going on in the world. And I feel like sometimes we, for the sake of comfort, we put our heads in the sand and try to look away so we don't feel uncomfortable, or so that way we don't feel those emotions that are so hard to digest and to feel. For example, whenever I see those commercials, usually during the holiday season, of the dogs in the cold and the commercial advocating for people to sponsor dogs or cats because of the inhumane treatment that they're being given, I usually turn away or have my husband lower down the volume because it just breaks my heart to see it. It hurts. It makes me feel uncomfortable. But that is what I want to tackle. And the good thing about this podcast is that not only is it fairly short, but also you can listen to it in the comfort or the security of your own privacy. And you can do it when no one is around so that way you don't feel as if you're being judged or anything like that. And you can allow yourself to feel the emotions that you need to feel and digest what those emotions are and why they may be there. And that for all of us helps us grow and helps us to understand why we feel the way that we feel about certain things. But nevertheless, we're going to start this episode with the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. So are you ready? Let's go. I have heard so many different things. And I did another episode about Gaza. We are calling it a genocide. We are calling it a war. We are calling it a humanitarian crisis. We're calling it many things. But one thing that all those classifications have in common is that there is definitely a lot of hurt and suffering happening there. And the argument from people may be, well, they're suffering because of their fault, because they are hiding the big bad wolf, the big bad guys with them. So that's why they're suffering. But I feel that in this case, in this scenario, it's a lot of violence and deaths that is happening to people that have nothing to do with that group, and yet they're paying the price for something they did not do. And that's where I feel all the pain that I feel whenever I look at this situation. And it hurts to keep looking at the suffering and the inhumane treatment that is happening. And that has been happening. If you dig deeper into this, which is something that I've done for the past several months, it's not as complex as many people may see it. I think the whole fallacy of this situation being complex stemmed from other people not wanting others to really dig into the issue and to really understand it for what it is, which is a group of folks needed to be in a place so that way they can feel safe. And they went over this place that already had people in it, and they encumbered the place and made the place their own without having the accord from the people that were already living there. And you can go back and you can read whatever. There's a lot of different back and forths when it comes to that. People may say no one was there. People may say that was not theirs, or somebody else took it over, so it was somebody else. I'm doing air quotes here. Christopher Columbus discovered the Americas. But really, he didn't, right? Because it was people already living here, so there was nothing that he discovered. He just subjugated the people that were here to violence so that way he can take the land. You see the difference there? Very different, right? Very different. So it really is nothing new that is happening here, as sad as that is to say. But nevertheless, even with that historical overview and understanding, is the inhumane treatment that is happening right now. And whenever I see the lack of food or how people from Gaza have to eat animal feed and have to eat like these things that we wouldn't even want, like, I know for me, I wouldn't even want my worst enemy to go through something like that. And it's just, it baffles me that there are still people that would dare say, well, they deserve it. I just, that is really what blows my mind when people say that. Because no one deserves anything like that. And let me read you something that I found so that way it can probably paint a clearer picture for you. And this is from Impactful Ninja, which I love that, impactfulninja.com. And this is by Alicia Odell. And she's writing an article on the best charities to donate to to help the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. But in the first paragraph, she has in here like a good overview, probably a little bit better than what I just gave to you. So it says right here that the Israeli-Palestine conflict dates back to the Arab-Israeli War in 1948. Resulting in the displacement of over 750,000 Palestinians. The region has since remained in a prolonged state of conflict, which is very true. On October 7, 2023, Islamic militant group Hamas escalated the violence by attacking Israel. The ensuing and ongoing war has led to a humanitarian crisis in Israel and the Palestinian territories of Gaza and the West Bank. So she's asking, what are the best charities? From watching the news and as well as following creators that are over there in Gaza, I know that aid is slow in coming through, not just because of the current fighting that is happening, which prevents, right, truck and a humanitarian aid from going through, but also recently there has been a group that is against the humanitarian aid and is using that, holding off the humanitarian aid as kind of like a bargaining chip to bring back the hostages that Hamas took. So it's almost like, no, we don't want humanitarian aid to come through because you still have hostages. So that's what's happening as well. So it's certain things that are hindering or slowing down the progress of the humanitarian aid, which is just bad all around. But here are some of the ones that they have on an Impactful Ninja, which is ANERA. It was founded in 1968 by Jim Sams to help refugees displaced by the Arab-Israeli War of 1967. And they still remain committed to responding to the critical needs of the Palestinian people and other victims as well in this regional conflict. They are also giving us, there's a few more. Direct relief, medical relief in times of crisis. So direct relief is another one as well, as well as Doctors Without Borders. If you haven't heard, they have had various doctors that have been on the news as well, and they have gone over there to just provide their expertise in helping the casualties and the victims to be able to provide care for them. And it is tough and hard to watch what they're saying, and as well as the snippets of the things that they're doing and who they're actually caring for, which is quite alarming that the people that they're doing surgeries and they're doing all this critical operations and techniques on happen to be children and women. Obviously, Save the Children is another one of those charities that is still in the area and is still helping, as well as Life for Relief and Development, which was founded in 1992 in California by a group of Arab and Muslim Americans and respond to the post-Gulf War humanitarian crisis in Iraq. And they're one of the many organizations that is giving back to help relieve the humanitarian crisis in there as well. And as you heard me say before, a lot of the information that I have accumulated when it comes to this comes from books that I have read before, as well as currently comes to the area when it comes to the religious groups in that area, when it comes to the various ethnic groups in that area as well. But another source of information besides the books that I've read and what I see on the news has been creators that come from this region. And I'm sure you have heard, and if you have not, let me tell you, of at WizardBisan1 on Instagram. And Bisan, she is a filmmaker. She had a travel blog, ladies and gentlemen, a travel vlog. I'm sorry. It's a video log of the places that she would visit. She would showcase her country to other people and the things that she would do. And she is a young person. She is in her 20s. But I think the various months since this had started, she has aged quite a lot, not just physically, but also mentally and spiritually. You can see the distress that is not something that you can fake on her person, on the way that she speaks, on the way that she carries herself, on the way that she jumps whenever something loud sounds off near her. It's sad to see. But most of the things that I am learning when it comes to real life, it really is coming from these ordinary people that are from this region, that they were either photographers or they were journalists or they were vloggers, and that all of a sudden their roles change when the violence escalated and this became what it is now. And now they're having to share these horrific stories, and they're doing it for various reasons, but there are two reasons that I have grasped when it comes to this. One of them is that they want the world to know that they exist. And two, they want the world to do something about it, to advocate, to raise their voices, so that way the world can help them and stop what's happening right now, so that way they may be able to live. And that is what brings me so much discomfort, so much pain, so much heartache, that we have a whole group of people begging complete strangers for their lives, begging complete strangers to utilize their social media, to utilize their emails, to do something so that way their cries won't go and disappear into the ether. And that's one of the reasons why I'm doing this episode. That's one of the reasons why I did a blog post about it and continuing to update on the blog post. And I emphasize and reshare the posts and news about this area from this area. So that way, for those that don't know, they can know and they can become educated and they can try to advocate, or at the very least, just tell their families about it. Because this is serious. An entire group of people saying, please help us. And they're not combatants. They're not in the military. They're not part of the extremist group. They're just people that live in that area that are literally in the crossfires. And there's a path forward to all of this. And the path forward is through humanitarian efforts and through targeted peaceful actions and international support that can help address the humanitarian crisis without making the conflict that much more worse. We can discuss the importance of distinguishing, like I said, between the combatants and the civilians in this conflict and resolutions and diplomacy and international law, which is, goodness gracious, diplomacy is like should be used at all extent possible before destruction. And I don't think diplomacy has been used enough when it comes to this. But I encourage anyone that is listening to this to just dig a little deeper when it comes to this. Go read something. And you know what? Read something from somebody else's point of view. That's what I did here. I read from both points of views and was able to draw the line somewhere in the middle where the truth from each group met. Then I was able to make my own opinion when it comes to this. And that's how I can say that the whole thing is not truly complicated. It is very simple to understand. And you will be able to understand it if you do that. If you learn a little bit from both and how both came to their truths, and you will be able to draw a line in the middle and figure out what this whole situation is. So I encourage you to do that. And I encourage you to highlight, if you can, highlight the ways to support humanitarian efforts and how you can give back to people that are hurting in Gaza. And if you cannot give back monetarily, you can advocate, you can emphasize, you can read a book from a Palestinian author, anything like that. Really just, it helps the collective to emphasize that there is a group in the world that is suffering. And it's not just this group. While I am talking about the Gaza humanitarian crisis, there are others that are similar to that, that are ongoing around the world and that have been ongoing for a long time, just like this one has been. And we can talk about several of them. Yemen. The conflict in Yemen, which began in 2015, has resulted in one of the world's worst humanitarian crises. The war between the Houthi rebels and the Saudi-led coalition supporting the Yemeni government devastated the country, and it led to mass displacement, to famine, to outbreaks of diseases like cholera. Millions of Yemenis are in need of humanitarian aid, facing acute food insecurity and a collapsed healthcare system. Those last two things, much like what the people in Palestine, the people in Gaza are seeing. We also have Syria's civil war. It's in its second decade now and has caused massive displacement as well, both internally and across borders, with millions of Syrians living as refugees, kind of like the people of Gaza. And the ongoing conflict has resulted in widespread destruction, the loss of life, and human right abuses. And large parts of the population require humanitarian assistance, including access to food, water, shelter, and healthcare. In Ethiopia, the Tigray region, which erupted in late 2020, led to a crisis as well, a humanitarian crisis. There are reports of mass displacement there as well, famine-like conditions and human rights violations as well, including massacres and sexual violence. And when it comes to humanitarian crisis, I got to tell you, pay attention to women, children, and disabled folk because they tend to suffer the most when it comes to these crises because they are the most vulnerable population and are subjugated to violence. But going back to Ethiopia, the conflict has made it difficult for aid to reach those in need. And it's just, it has made the suffering for that civilian population there that much more worse. In Afghanistan, since the return of the Taliban in 2021, they have faced just an economic collapse. And the withdrawal of international support, it just plunged the country into a severe humanitarian crisis like the other countries that I've talked about. Millions are at risk of famine as well. And the healthcare system is on the brinks of a collapse. And the need for humanitarian assistance here is urgent as well. And women and girls, like I just said, are particularly affected because they face restrictions on their rights and access to education and employment. And in South Sudan, we have the world's youngest country that has been unfortunately plagued by civil war and intercommunal violence since gaining its independence in 2011. And the conflict has led to tens of thousands of deaths. And this is something that I have seen in social media as well. A widespread displacement and a humanitarian crisis with millions needing food aid and basic services. Flooding and disease outbreaks have made the country's challenges that much more worse. Going to Latin America and Venezuela has had an economic collapse marked by hyperinflation, political turmoil, and sanctions has led to a humanitarian crisis as well. And there was severe shortages of food, medicine, and basic services. Millions of Venezuelans have fled the country, representing one of the largest displacement crises in the world. And if you dig deeper on some of the people that are coming across the border, some of them are from Venezuela. Some of those people coming from the southern border are from Venezuela. Those that remain in the country, they face malnutrition, health crisis, and human rights violations. These crises, each unique in their causes per country, they have impacts. And that really, as you heard me saying, right, most of the immigrants, or at least some of the immigrants coming across the Southwest border are coming from Venezuela. So as you can see, like, even if you're not from there, the crisis happening around us in the world affects us all one way or another. So really putting our heads in the sand and saying, not my problem, doesn't help anyone, doesn't help much at the very least, right? This whole month, we're going to talk about various things in the world, climate change, Ukraine, all these things that can be so divisive because they make us feel big emotions. But we're going to talk about it this March, and it's going to get really uncomfy, but we're going to go through with it. Okay? But remember, I'm going to leave you with this. It is so important for us to have that humanity, that compassion, and that informed action when we address complex crises. there's a potential as a global community that we can come together to support peace, justice, and humanitarian aid and let go of violence. And I'll leave you with that. And I'll see you on the next episode. Come back. Bye. Oh, we could fly. Thank you so much for listening. I want to hear from you. Leave me a comment. Do a rating if you can on the podcast. Share it with somebody you love. But most importantly, come back. See you next time. Bye. Are you ready to embark on a captivating journey of resilience and revelation? Get ready to immerse yourself in the extraordinary world of Isla Delgado, a 9-year-old girl who has experienced more than her fair share of trauma. Isla's life takes a dramatic turn when she's forced to live with her dad and his new wife for 6 months. Her anxiety intensifies as she becomes convinced that her stepmom is an evil witch. But Isla is determined to protect herself and expose her stepmom's true nature. As the gripping story unfolds, Isla discovers that things aren't always as they seem. Join her on a transformative journey of self-discovery, where she learns that even the most traumatic experiences can be triumphantly overcome with the power of love and understanding. People are saying, while the alarming trend of attempting to ban books continues in the United States, this book is a fantastic reminder of the power that books have. A child will read this story and feel seen, heard, and hopefully feel some peace. For children of the appropriate age, this book provides the opportunity for a wonderful exercise in empathy. The message of the story is truly something a lot of children out there, and even some adults, might need to hear. Mrs. Franchi's Evil Ring and the 6 Months That Changed Everything is a heartwarming tale that explores the profound theme of family, trust, and the power of compassion. This inspiring story will leave listeners of all ages feeling uplifted and inspired. Don't miss out on this middle grade read and be prepared to be captivated by a story that will touch your heart and ignite your imagination. Mrs. Franchi's Evil Ring is available everywhere books are sold.